You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Welcome to a brand new Women's World Cup Daily with the Cooligans. What's good, everybody? Let's go.
Thank you. Thank you for being here yet again. We're here every day, so you need to be here every day.
Yeah, shout out to, a lot of people have been on Twitter or X now. I don't know what we're doing because...
Twitter, bruh. This man... Twitter moved to the Bronx, bruh.
This man is destroying everything we've built, you know, yeah, on this
social
media platform.
It's such a corny
platform.
Logo. It's such
brutal.
A corny logo.
Shout out to Sarah Spain. Because a lot of people, she's been compiling lists of like what your Women's World Cup podcast should be. We weren't on the initial list, which is, I mean, it's heartbreaking. But there were a lot of our supporters that were like, "Yo, Sarah, how'd you leave them out? How is this possible?" So we ended up on the list. So it's
she corrected course.
Uh huh.
Nice.
Okay.
Thank you for the inclusion.
All right. You're supposed to be a journalist. Do the reporting. Welcome, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Obviously, I'm Alexis Guerreros, everybody.
Let's go. We are excited today. We obviously we had a fun episode yesterday. We obviously reacted to the U.S. Women's National Team, the result against Netherlands. We'll parse our thoughts now after having a day to, kind of sit on it.
Kids using big words. What is happening?
We'll try to, gather our thoughts there after a day. But then also, I had mentioned before, some of the results that we didn't get a chance to talk about. Australia, Nigeria was, Portugal also played Vietnam, but Australia, Nigeria was just literally, I say so far, best game of the Women's World Cup, as of now. So super entertaining. We got 5 goals in this game, and an upset without a doubt. I mean, I think the host nation for Australia.
Yeah, without a doubt, 100%. Yeah, this is massive. I mean, look, no Samantha Kerr.
Mm-hmm,
that's the first stat that needs to be said. Yeah. Samantha Kerr with 0 minutes because obviously she's still dealing with an injury. And you hope for the nation of Australia that she can play in this final group stage match. But against Nigeria, man, Nigeria just took it to them.
Yeah.
And this felt like a knockout stage game because both teams scored. Let's start there.
Yeah.
A rarity so far in this World Cup. And it was very head to head. I wasn't sure what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the game.
Right. And then when Nigeria got the lead, wild, right? But then also when they got the second goal, got the third goal.
Oshawala.
And what a moment. What a moment. I mean, just the focus of, got the defender who tried to head the ball back to the goalkeeper. Just clearly that miscommunication and then Oshawala to just
run
be
on
there,
it. Run, run up, on it,
and
run
then
up
hit the ball.
It.
And it was a really bad angle. Yeah, dude.
Woo!
But I love the celebration. Taking the jersey off, and then also her post game. Comments. Did you see that?
I did not.
It was wild because they said she said she's proud to play for this badge. And she said Nigeria is the greatest country in the world. And then the interviewer was like, "Oh, can you say something to the people of Nigeria. I forgot the exact question, but she said, Naija, let's effing go. And it was just like such a great like moment of pride for the country.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It was just great to see. So, but just such a, you know, obviously we have, I always watch Nigeria, especially for, Anumanu. Yeah, Ife Anumanu, who plays for Gotham FC. She plays winger for Nigeria. She's more of a, I would say, a nine, in my opinion. But she I played well. And then the three goals, the first goal to score, you know, after, because Australia scored first.
Yeah.
And then to score in stoppage time of the first half.
Both were technically in stoppage time.
Yeah. Both of Australia's goals were definitely in stoppage. And then.
I said the Australia goal was the first goal by Australia was in 45th plus 1 minute. So what, 46 minute. And then the other one was like plus 6 minute, like that dying embers of the first half.
I think this obviously was a shock because Australia are a pretty good team and they're also pretty good. Defenders. I mean, the defender that made the mistake, Kennedy, that was Alana Kennedy, who was trying to pass it back to the goalkeeper, to head it back to the goalkeeper. She's like dominant. Like, she's been like one of those players are really difficult to get around, taller than, you know, most of the people she's playing against. This was just such a great, performance in a World Cup for Nigeria, just to like it just had a lot. It had everything as far as like it was entertaining, great goals. Everybody played well, and then it just had a level of heart that was just like clearly on display.
For those of you who don't know, now Nigeria's top of this group.
Yeah.
The host nation, or one of the co-host nation, is also in this group in third as of right now, out of the knockout stages, will not advance out of the groups unless they beat Canada, who is in second place. In fourth place is Ireland, so they're out. So it's Nigeria with 4 points, Canada with 4 points, both on plus one goal differential. Then is Australia in third place with 3 points. Obviously, Ireland is out with 0 points. So right now, this match, Canada's next match, is against Australia. Canada needing to show up. Christine Sinclair missing opportunities. Really needs to solidify. I think she becomes the first to score in 6 World Cups if she can score here.
Okay.
So she becomes the first player to score in 6 consecutive World Cups. Really needing it. But Australia, will Sam Kerr come back? The nation is behind them. They're home. This is a crazy match. This is going to be a wild, wild match.
Yeah, I'm like, but I hear 6 World Cups. I'm like, damn, dude, Christine Sinclair play against Pele? How long has that been? Bro.
Christine Sinclair's first match was televised by a like Morse code.
Damn,
right? There was Canadians gathering around the ticker tape as it was coming out of the Morse code machine.
I remember, I caught Christine Sinclair's first game on the radio like everybody else, you know? My family huddled around.
It was the Depression, and Christian and I were bare-knuckle boxing as children to make ends meet for our family. And we heard Christine Sinclair scored.
We threw our gloves down and put the fight on pause because
put the fight on pause because you got to honor Christine Sinclair's first World Cup.
Christine Sinclair is basically the DDA Drogba, you know?
Her first photo was black and white. That's how long ago.
It's so remarkable, but. So the
6
yeah,
World Cups is kind of crazy. Guys, right now at home, do 6 times 4 and just think about doing the same thing for that span of time.
Christine Sinclair was a toddler out there, bro.
Bro, Christine Sinclair, her mother was going to drive her to the first World Cup, couldn't, so she rode a pterodactyl. That's how long ago.
I mean, it's been a minute, bro. the game Australia-Canada is going to be such a huge game because obviously winner, depending on the result for Nigeria-Ireland, which you would imagine probably Nigeria win that game.
Australia has to win, by the way. Australia has to win, 3 to 4 points. Australia has to win. A draw both does not help them.
Yeah, yeah, both teams. I mean, Canada could finish top of the group if they win. So
yeah, but a draw gets them through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's so, no chance. There's zero chance for Australia.
A lot of take. Yeah, this is it. Really, really hurts if Australia don't get through and Sam Kerr never plays a game in this World Cup. I mean, I don't even. I can't even really describe the heartbreak that would feel like. We have to see her at this World Cup. It's in her country. This is crazy. I'm already getting sad thinking about it.
Oh my God. It's you know, this has been tough for both host nations, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So all right, a couple of the results. The Italy, no, sorry, not Italy, that was the other game. Argentina, South Africa. This was a wild game. Right? South Africa they were up 2-0, and I felt like a lock, you know. Argentina have not really looked great in the tournament so far, and then they come back in this game to get a draw, which is like, a heartbreak, like hurts for South Africa because they had such a real opportunity to they would have been tied with 3 points in if they were up 2-0, they would have been I believe in first place in the group above Sweden, but no, Argentina spoiled the show for South Africa. They got 2 goals in the 74th and the 79th. Minute the second goal from Nunez, I don't know how I'm assuming it's misspelled here, but was wild. It was a blast that went from outside the box and dipped down into like top bins. It felt like once South Africa were up 2-0, I thought it really did feel like, oh, we got this, like there's no, we're better than them. There's no way they're coming back, and that's exactly what they did. That might have been the first. I think that was the first goal. The second goal was the header, the cross, and then the header that trickled in. Just that it felt like in the second half, South Africa, maybe they were tired. Maybe they didn't think they needed to score another one.
It was such a quick, drastic dip in form towards the end of this game. Yeah. They just burned themselves out. I mean, also, no one really taking a result really kind of, I guess, gave Italy a bit of a chance here.
Without a doubt, yeah. I mean, this group was it felt like it's Sweden and let's see who else can kind of get out of there. But then the group ended up being much more competitive than I think a lot of people thought. But
yeah, especially I kind of expected Argentina to continue to come. I thought they would at least be able to pull this game off towards the end.
Sure. They did look better. But they're
about to go against Sweden, which is clearly going to be the toughest competition they're going to face.
But it's interesting. Every World Cup, every Women's World Cup is, some countries are further along as far as the development goes. And you see where Argentina is. For women's soccer in Argentina, I think it's just that's what makes it so much more meaningful and impactful, because we all know how very publicly disrespected the Argentinian women's national team is. And things are changing, but it's like difficult to see the love and support that the men's national team gets, and like the women not get like almost any. I'm not a second-class citizen. Yeah, I'm not there to see it. But we've heard. I mean, a lot of issues with the federation and and resources and a lot of stuff. So it clearly exists. But I think results like this and kind of a passionate sort of comeback, I think, helps the program, further along. If they get out of the group, which would be pretty wild, that's even more insane. I mean, like having a knockout stage game, maybe watch parties in Argentina, maybe that changes everything and stuff like that. But I've been seeing at the very least the dude Hero
Edo's doing a lot.
He's doing, you know, he did videos with the women's, some of the women's national team players and stuff like that. So, yeah, like, I mean, that's what it takes just to, like, normalize.
You know, treat it like it's a World Cup. Yeah, I don't think it's asking a lot. It's called the World Cup. Right? You might as well treat it like one.
Exactly. So, so huge result for South Africa, for Argentina, really, to come back in that game. All right, a couple other ones. England played Denmark this mm-hmm. morning. Lauren James.
Yeah, what a beast of a goal.
Yeah, great goal. Oh, my God. And wins 1-0 over Denmark. Denmark got really, really close. Obviously, they hit the post from a header late in the game. They just couldn't find the goal. I mean, I think we can ask the same questions of England that we ask of the United States. Yo, why aren't
literally,
you
winning? What's going on,
y'all supposed to be out here dominating.
What
What's
happened?
This?
I thought you was top of the food chain. What's going on, bro?
And not to say, look, Denmark
Lionesses.
Is, Denmark is not, you know, they're not pushovers. But
no, not at all. But if you're England, and yeah, I know you got a bunch of injuries, and unfortunately you added another one. Barcelona player, Kira Walsh, if I'm not mistaken.
Walsh, yeah, she got hurt.
I mean, you heard her say, I've done my knee. And, you know, Charlie mentioned it on the show. She's, like, pushing other players away. Like, don't worry about me. Go play.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, which kind of shows you the selflessness of some of these players. And I also mentioned it on the morning show. You know, you got these players playing in multiple competitions. You've seen NWSL players. You've seen European-based players in the offseason go play for the opposite. Go play for a league that's still going on. Do a loan. Not taking time off. Tons of international competition. Lots of those, because that's really the big money earner for the federation when it comes to women's sports. And it's just, it's really, really tough what you're seeing. But England is still a really deep team. So you're going to have to start asking some questions of their coach as well, of saying, like, hey, why aren't we bodying? Yo, why is Rachel Daly a left back, bro? Was she not the Golden Boot winner in your league, bro?
Yeah, it's a interesting decision. I guess it's a little bit of like,
she played well.
She played well.
I don't want to take away from her.
We got to get our best players on the pitch, regardless of like what position.
Put her in a goalkeeper, bro. We need goals. You feel me?
this lineup looked pretty unorthodox.
I'd say so.
You know, if they lose, it's a terrible decision. If they win, it's like, oh, maybe the manager just knows something we don't, you know, okay?
He's thinking outside the box. So far outside the box, she's playing in the next box, bro.
the goal was impressive. Lauren James, who started this game, and I believe didn't start the last one. This is Lauren James is a winger, right? She's not a fullback.
No, she's a winger for Chelsea.
Right, you're right. Okay.
And probably the main connecting partner with Sam Kerr when they play for Chelsea.
Right.
Lauren James is the other player to worry about, which is,
it's
striking because it's Lauren James and she's really good.
Yeah.
Reece James' sister, for those of you who don't know.
Right. But the, overall, I just thought look, so far in this tournament, England they haven't looked bad. They won the games that they needed to win.
They haven't looked bad, but have they looked great?
Yeah, they haven't looked great. I mean, it's like not many teams have looked great. I've said this before. To me,
the Philippines. What are you talking about, bro? The Philippines have a shot at getting out of the group.
to me, Japan and Spain look the best. I look the sharpest.
Sharpest is probably the great word. I was going to say most ready, but yeah, sharpest is great.
That's it. I mean, doesn't mean they're going to win games. You know, maybe they, because they could get, you know, anything could happen. A big foul, you get smacked in the face. Some teams play a little too aggressive. It is what it is.
You know, it doesn't matter. Some teams get sturdy out there, you know?
That sharpness doesn't always, you know, that isn't going to be the thing that saves you.
It doesn't always equate.
So impressive overall. I think England, but you know, once we get to the knockout stages, I think that we're going to start seeing what, like what teams are really sort of made of, right? And the other result, China won against Haiti 1-0. And this was most of the game was, I would say, just controversy. A lot of either bad calls or non-calls.
Red card in the 29th minute for China, and they still win.
Yeah.
Haiti should have gotten a penalty at the end.
Yeah, there was just a lot of confusion. I could see why Haiti would be pretty frustrated with this result. The refereeing seemed to be a little wild in this game. Okay, I want to just recap, and some U.S. women's national team stuff. But now that we've had some time to chill,
that's important. You got to chill.
Because we have finally, I think we were on Levitard's show. We did our show. We were screaming into microphones. We were just a bunch of, heterosexual males screaming into microphones. You see it on TikTok all the time.
Get in line. And plus, imagine, I don't know how you chose to chill when a game gets suspended in the 60th minute. That an MLS team is winning against a Liga MX team. It's just unfair.
Yeah.
They don't want us to win. So we had to chill. And you know what I did? I took that time to pop open a fresh, crisp, cold, refreshing Coors Light.
That's right, because the Blue Mountains are right there. You see them right on the screen.
Dude, it's right over your head, bro.
Okay.
Your whole box right there is refreshing cold, ready to go.
I feel quite chill right now. Alexis is jealous, bro.
Bro, I'm wild jelly right now. Ain't no mountain on my box, bro. Okay. But that's how you know. The can itself tells you, hey, I'm good to go. If you good to go,
Look at that. All right.
Stay ready.
The can is always ready to go. Shout out to Coors Light, the official beer of League's Cup 2023. So this summer, stay passionate and stay refreshed with an ice cold Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right. So now that we've had a day, any other thoughts on Vlatko's decision? Because I'll tell you where I'm at, because I haven't seen too many people be in support of Vlatko, but I did see one. I did see comments from our homie, Glenn Crooks. He's the radio announcer for NYCFC. He's also a legendary coach in New Jersey. Coach at Rutgers. Coach Carly Lloyd. Legendary coach. Great guy.
So he discovered Carly Lloyd.
Yeah. He was basically saying that Vlatko's decision, like, basically to, don't pay attention to the noise, this is Vlatko believed that the players on the pitch could get the job done and could get a win, and that if they ended up scoring, everyone would have been like, Vlatko's a genius. He knew what he was doing. Well,
yeah, of course.
Right.
So what are we doing?
And
if the atomic bomb didn't work, Oppenheimer wouldn't have been made. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yes.
What are we talking about?
That's the only, thing that would have been different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the point stands. If the Barbie doll doesn't get very made, the Barbie movie doesn't get made.
Very interesting butterfly effect to focus on.
It's just ridiculous. And I'd like to remind everyone that Glenn Crooks is a fan of Arturo's Pizza, quite possibly one of the worst pizzas. In New York City.
I'm not too familiar with Arturo's, but Alexis and Glenn get into that every single time, because Glenn always brings it up about this pizza. All right.
He loves it. And I said, I'm glad you do. It's the only reason they're still open. I haven't heard anyone else besides Glenn be like, go on, King, to Vlatko. You know what I mean?
Don't let anybody change you, okay?
Nah, they don't want you to win, Vlatko. No, the rest of us want to win, dude. I think the rest of us have a lot of questions. And, I mean, yeah, I've had a day on it. Alana Cook got to get in there, bro. I want to see a center-back pairing. We've left it too late as far as I'm concerned. The only thing that saves Vlatko's skin right now is if Rose LaBelle is healthy enough to start the game and possibly go about 70. Yeah. If that's possible, then we'll be all right.
Yeah,
because then we could park the bus after that.
Because I don't think there's any strong issue with the attack, the attacking three. Even though, if you look at some of our YouTube comments on yesterday's show, a lot of people aren't happy with Alex Morgan. They're just like, "Yo, maybe she's done. Maybe she's not the. She doesn't have to play all 90. Maybe she doesn't have to necessarily even start."
I would say calm yourselves if you're thinking that. You might not be wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying she's not a make your own shot, make your own chance kind of a striker. She needs service. And that midfield, as far as I'm concerned, no disrespect to Andy Sullivan, no disrespect to Lindsey Horan, it's not really set up unless, Rose Lavelle or Ashley Sanchez are in there. It's not really set up to give service to a pure nine. Like Alex Morgan. So I think you're seeing the effects of that. I think that's why you're seeing so much dynamism out of a Sophia Smith who can create her own shot.
Yeah. I mean, the comments have been interesting. I think people have been focusing on Andy Sullivan. There is one comment I did want to read. This was from Johnny P5216. It's a long comment, but essentially they said Sullivan is good for one or two of these mistakes every big game. Go back and look. That isn't coaching or anything. Her job there is to simply put her body in front of the 10 and stop her from progressing. And it essentially kind of focusing on that. I think somebody else said this. It might be in the same comment somewhere else. It's a very long comment. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But essentially that that Andy Sullivan doesn't foul enough, that she's unwilling to foul players enough to stop them from advancing. And that's an interesting argument because as far as a defensive mid, you should get into a couple little scraps from time to time.
Yeah,
maybe
pick up
a yellow.
Yeah, no.
Like
you gotta taste a little grass.
Yeah. And so I could see that argument being made because you wouldn't really say that about Julie Ertz. Julie Ertz will knock.
She'll get stuck in, bro.
She'll knock somebody down, bro.
I don't hate that. And I do think like when you see a player that doesn't foul enough, it's usually a sign that they're not. Doing certain things that would create doubt in that number 10 of going near them.
Right,
what I mean? And I'm not simply talking about like abusing or getting sturdy. That is a good point. That's not a terrible point.
No,
but I think Andy Sullivan is being put in a position where she really can't win.
I wouldn't say that, but
I would. You're the defensive midfielder protecting a center back and a former center back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So typically, if you had two really good center backs behind you, you would do enough to slow down the attack, and then these two center backs would stop it.
Yeah.
Now what you have is a situation where one of those center backs isn't exactly in her perfect position. So you're not getting – this is a World Cup.
Yeah,
but you got to field your best 11.
I'll say this, but I trust Julie Ertz as center back more than I trust Andy Sullivan at the six right now. Mm. That's essentially what I'm saying. So the – as far as I wouldn't say that she can't win. I think it's the midfield shouldn't be getting cooked like this. We're not used to seeing something like that where we're getting overrun. The U.S. is going to have more possession in pretty much all of these World Cup matches. We know that. So the midfield should, when they lose the ball, should be hard pressed and focused on recovering the ball. And if that means like you got to be aggressive, got to foul a little bit, then that's what the job calls for.
You heard it here first. You got to get a little sturdy.
I think that's an interesting insight in how the Netherlands match like ended up, because that was a again, some people, like Glenn is essentially saying, like, not a big deal. And, even in 2019, we did draw a game as well in the group stages. But
yeah, and let's be honest, Portugal, we should be able to beat them easily.
Yeah.
But if we lose to Portugal, that it's catastrophic.
But it's just
so if we beat Portugal, we go through. But I'm with you. I'm with you. We're not walking in fresh. Like, hey, look at us beating everybody.
The game is so winnable. The game against Netherlands was winnable in my mind. I mean, I'll say the same thing. The result is on Vlaco's, hands. I mean, it's still a draw. It's not the end of the world, but just a disappointing decision because it could have been so much more fruitful if he just made a couple subs, just gave some other players some burn and stuff like that. Yeah, so frustrating, but it is what it is. Okay, we have a we're gonna wrap up. Obviously, tomorrow there'll be obviously three games: France, Brazil, Panama, Jamaica, and Sweden, Italy. So that is the those are still second matches, right? For those,
I'm not sure.
I think so.
Dude, these games are all running into each other.
Yeah. In Group F, where are they with Group F? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Well, there it's somewhere. We've been doing this every single day. So go check out.
You know what? Yeah, we'll be here to talk about it.
Go check out some of the older episodes. We have again some of the episodes with some great guests.
That is Brazil and France's second match. Yes.
Okay. Some great guests. We have another great guest lined up for tomorrow. We're going to be chatting with Megan Reyes, who created the Between Two Worlds podcast, a documentary podcast about the Filipino national team, and it's great. I highly recommend people check it out. But we'll be talking to her tomorrow about that. So make sure you tune in. Subscribe as always to all the stuff at Soccer Cooligans on YouTube. Everywhere you consume,
yeah, hit
this
the subscribe
show.
Button right now.
Leave a review if you're enjoying these World Cup Daily podcasts. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. You can do it right there, right in the app. Please do that right now as you're listening to me say this. That is your the only instruction I will give you. So, okay, everybody, we will see you tomorrow with a brand new episode. The Women's World Cup is chugging right along. We out here every single day. Make sure you let your friends know. Send this podcast. Text this podcast to one of your friends to make sure that they listen to it and check it out. Y'all the absolute best. We will see you tomorrow. Peace.